Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as always, we have this wonderful opportunity to share with everybody and to glean the Word of God. So tonight we're going to have a song, scripture, and prayer. We're going to start off with Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 1st through the 12th verse, whoever's on the line that would like to read. And we will begin with the song, Open My Heart.
I know in my heart.
Open up my heart. We have Miss Shirley with us today. Miss Shirley,
Hello.
Are you open to do some reading?
Yeah.
Would you turn to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and read?
Let me get to Ephesians 6.
Reading from the 10th verse through the 18th verse.
Okay. Let me pull it up in my Bible here.
And is there anybody else who can get the New Living Translation so we can have a reading from the King James and a reading from the New Living?
This is Eric. I've got the New Living Translation.
Okay.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right. Would you go ahead and
I'm
read
it? Okay, I'm reading from King James, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the ruler of the darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly place. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always and all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. Amen.
This is the New Living Translation. This is the New Living Translation, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. The final word, be strong in the Lord's might and power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies and trickery of the devil. We are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authority of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in heavenly realms. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Put on the salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times and on every occasion in power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayer for all Christians. Everywhere. I read Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord, for the mission of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Is Brother Brian here?
Amen. Brother Brian is here.
Greetings.
Do you want to do the intercessionary
yes.
now? Okay.
Yes.
This is the time we do get together as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ And we take this opportunity to bring our petitions and our statements of blessings, our thanks to him. Does anyone have anything for the Lord tonight?
This is Eric. I got a couple. My friend that we've been praying for, Greg Ciprian, has been released from the hospital. He is at home. He is still having some issues, but he is well enough to go home. And his family has gotten a nurse to come in during the day to assist his wife as well. So we're thankful to God that he is on the road to recovery from a very lengthy battle with COVID. I also have on my grandparents' side of the family, the Jefferson side and the Thompson side, has been visited by death. So I want to lift those families up who have lost some very close and dear loved ones. That the Lord will strengthen them through this time. Continue to pray for my uncle, Dwayne, my uncle Wendell, both who are still facing some health challenges, my mother in her back, and my niece who is expecting child, that they will all remain healthy during this time, that the child will be born healthy as well.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Eric. Does anyone else have something for the Lord tonight?
This is Shirley. I just want to thank the Lord for his grace and mercy.
Amen.
Amen to that. Thank you, Shirley. Anyone else tonight?
This is Dr. Susie. And I just want to thank the Lord that, you know, the enemy tried to keep me from being able to do the Bible study, made it real difficult. And I just want to thank the Lord for a boss who, knowing that trying to do ministry, said, we'll just change your schedule from 7:30 to 4. So once I cross the county line or the state line, then it's 5, so I get off at 5. But it gives me an hour to get home, so I get home about 6:15, so that gives me time to get ready for the Bible study, where before I wouldn't get home until like 7:15. So God is good, and I just thank the Lord,
the time.
You know, all the time.
God is good.
And
that is really that's truly a blessing.
Yep, talking about a will maker. He is a will maker.
Hey, a way maker, way out of no way. Hey.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So that's my praise.
Does anyone else have? That is an awesome praise. Thank you. Does anyone else have a praise or a request tonight?
This is Dr. Susie as well. I have another request. And the request is that those who are listening and participating to this Bible study, that their spiritual eyes would be open so that they would be prepared to wage war.
Amen to that. All right, this is Brian from Maine. I have a petition tonight for my grandson, Elijah, who... at 17 years old, just turned 17 2 weeks ago, has been called to be a preacher. And one of the aspects of that he's responding to is he's starting a YouTube channel as a young preacher, a YouTube channel for people his age or even younger to help them with what he's being guided by the Lord to do. And, you know, he's nervous about it. He knows it's a global exposure. And he's praying hard on what to post first and how to proceed with this. So certainly, Lord, we ask blessings on my grandson in his endeavor to be a YouTube online teacher.
Amen. Amen.
Well, right, this is Eric, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but you can tell him the first thing is always the main thing, and that is God's unfailing love for us. So the first thing should be about redemption.
Okay.
Whatever he can come up with that deals with redemption, because that's the main thing. That is the main thing about God's message to us, even through all the Bible that we study.
Yes. Yeah. His church line is very conservative. They do altar calls every Sunday twice, at the first service and at the afternoon service. And they invite people who are saved to come and join and kneel before the Lord to be a part of thanking the Lord for their salvation. And so he is very much aware of that aspect of the ministry, the important aspect. Let's bring these before the Lord tonight. There's some very important petitions and praises here. Lord, we approach you as brothers and sisters, as a group who come together to worship you, to learn about you and to learn more about ourselves and what you have for us. But Lord, just the praises of healing that you've done in these blessings tonight, thank you for all of them. We know that, you know, all these people, all their circumstances, all the people around them who are affected, and we just thank you for all you've done in all these things. We do thank you that Dr. Susie's supervisor has given her the grace for a schedule modification, which helps her continue this long-term study at the regular time. That's awesome. Thank you. And Lord, we do bring before you the people who are sick and are in the circle of people who we know and love. We ask that their pain be minimized, their healing be a surprise and be a great work, if it be your will. And Lord, for those people who have experienced deaths for their family members and people who are close to them, we ask if they remember you, they think of you, they think of the glory of heaven, they think of the finality of the human body, but the everlasting soul. And we ask that their pain be minimized and that their families heal quickly. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are so excited to be able to come before the Lord and sit at God's feet and learn again another major teaching. And so as we start, I just wanted to say thank you to those of you who tried to adjust your schedules, even though I had changed it. And I just know that those who could make it will, and those who can't, and that's understandable as well. But I'm really excited that in reality, the Lord is working in our lives, and you can see the manifestation of God as we choose to continue to be faithful and study God's word. We just finished with Revelation, and it was an awesome, awesome study, but it set us up for the one that we're going to deal with tonight. And so as we go there, I would like for us to someone just texted me and said, is it too late to join the Bible study? I said, no. As we go there, we're excited about what God is doing. And Revelation actually set us up. And in light of this study, the first question I have for you is, as we start, let me take a second. who's on the line tonight? I need to know so I can call some folk out.
Well,
I knew you were going to laugh, Eric, so I can put them on the spot. I want to know. Call folk out. Just teasing.
Well, you already called me out, Dr. Susie. This is Shirley in Maryland.
That's all right. I love you, Miss Shirley. I love you.
Brother Mateo.
So we got Miss Shirley. We got Brother Mateo. We got Brian. We got Eric. All right. So we got the group. And I just got some new texts. We got two new people that are on their way trying to get in. I don't know what happens to the line, but sometimes it's like when you don't come in early or right on time, it's like it keeps people from getting back in. Or if you get out, it's hard to get back in. So I don't know what's involved in that. So we're going to pray because I think it ain't nothing but the enemy. Because there are two people who are saying that they wanted to participate tonight. And he's saying, how do I do it? How do I get involved? So if you give me a second, I'm going to copy this message for him and I'm going to send it to him so he can call in.
Yeah, the devil is certainly involved, but so is technology. And one of the things that happens on these sites is there are designated times that shows at a start, and the servers focus on logging those people in and getting the show set up. Once those shows are set up, then the servers change their thread allocation more to the show itself and less to the login. You can still log in, but it just, you know, the amount of CPU moments that are happening focus on the show rather than the login process.
Okay. I see. Okay. Well, we have quite a few people with us tonight. We got Brother Ivan Carter with us tonight. Hey, Brother Carter, we're glad you're here. I know you're at work, so we're just going to let you be over there. We got another caller in tonight. Who else just called in the 207 number?
Jerry.
Is that you? Hey, Jerry. Y'all, I have to introduce you to my brother. This is my brother, Jerry. And, Jerry, I want to introduce you to the Love Connection Bible Study. We've got a whole bunch of folks online that you'll get to know. Miss Shirley, Brother Eric. I'm missing Brett. Has anybody heard from Brett? We've got Brian on the line. We've got Brother Ivan and several other people. So,
Brother Mateo.
Brother Mateo's on the line. So as you feel comfortable, Jerry, I know you can jump in anytime and, you know, interact as you choose. So,
hello, everybody. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well, brother.
So, tonight we are starting with the question. Yeah, you got it. We're starting with the question. We just finished Revelations, Jerry. So, the question for us tonight is, how important is it that we recognize evil? How important is it that we recognize evil?
Hello?
Everybody jump on at the same time. Who's there?
Well, this is Eric, so you know I'll say something. It is essential that you recognize it. And the reason that I say that is because anything that is not of God is going to be of evil. And that's the reality of it. There is no, we keep thinking there is this middle ground, but there really isn't. It's mm-hmm. good and evil. It's God and Satan. And mm-hmm. there is this war going on in man's soul. Are the prize. So it is essential that we recognize that in whatever shape it comes in, because it may not look like evil, but if it's not of God, then it is evil. And let me let me emphasize that just a little bit more from Ephesians chapter 5. And I don't mean to take up a whole lot of time, Dr. Susie, but I think this is important for me to read. It is,
and we want different opinions because it's a lot of different perspectives, so go ahead.
So follow God's example in everything you do because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love for others, following the examples of Christ, who loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins, and God was pleased because that sacrifice was like a sweet perfume to him. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, those are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure no immoral, impure, or greedy person will enter the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is really an idolater who worships the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the terrible anger of God comes upon all those who disobey him. Don't participate in these things these people do, for though your hearts were once full of darkness, now you are full of light from the Lord, and your behavior should show it. For this light is within you, produces only what is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, rebuke and expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But when the light shines on them, it becomes clear how evil these things are. And where the light shines, it exposes these evil deeds. That is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That was Ephesians 5:1-14.
Okay. So other people, that's great, that's Eric. That's wonderful. So he's given us some examples of why we need to recognize evil. So other people. Any other statements? How important is it to you all that you think that we should recognize evil? Ms. Shirley, I know you got something to say. There's Brian, too. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Brian.
Go ahead, Brian.
Go ahead, Shirley. I'll wait.
I'm going to add another caveat to that. We mm-hmm. recognize evil from our spiritual eye or flesh, because evil carries so many. If you're not a child of God and evil attacks you, you know, I was reading Isaiah say, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So
hold on, Miss Shirley. Hold one second. You guys, those of you who are cooking or washing dishes, could you put your phone on mute till you get ready to talk? Because if I put you on mute, I won't know when you're trying to talk. So if I keep hearing it, I'll have to put it on mute. But if you'll put yourself on mute so that we can hear Miss Shirley and not hear the background and the dogs and stuff like that. So go ahead, Miss Shirley.
But it is very important that we recognize evil, whichever way we look at it, from our spiritual side or from our non-spiritual side, you know, because evil takes mm-hmm. so many faces, and it can be clothed by just the mere fact that it'll catch you off guard. So you have to, like in Ephesians, put on a whole breastplate of armor as far as God is concerned,
well,
to guard you from that and to guard
amen.
Your heart.
Amen.
You know, that Ephesians speaks to all of that. So, yeah, you have to be prepared for evil because it comes to you even when you are in church, it comes to you.
Well.
It doesn't matter.
Amen.
Because
amen.
The
amen.
Devil is so insisted upon trying to throw you off, and we found that out in Revelation. I am better
yes.
than he is. I can give you things that he can't. Or look at in Genesis, Adam and Eve.
Right.
evil.
And you were talking about when you say he can't, you mean he's saying that he can give you things that God can't.
Right, right. I can give you one. In other words, I can give you one better. And then you're fooled by
right.
that, thinking that.
Right.
Brainwashed by that.
Right. Amen.
So you got to keep that breastplate on all the time.
And be ready. So that's, Ms. Shirley was saying, how important is it that we recognize evil? Brian, what do you think?
This is Brian from Maine. We are fallen creatures. Thank God. Thank Jesus we're saved and that we were able to humble ourselves before him and accept
Amen.
His free gift. But we
Amen.
Are all fallen creatures. Therefore, we are prone to do evil. We're prone to sin, and we need to be able to recognize that in ourselves and not just recognize
mm-hmm.
it in other people's actions.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Very vital is that we just have to remember that, number one, and we remember this from before we were saved, but we feel it now still, doing evil can feel real good. Sinning can
That's
feel great.
Right,
we can use
right.
excuses like, hey, I'm a child of God, but so maybe I can get away with this or maybe I can get away with that. That's evil and sinful by itself. So we have to always be able to recognize evil so that we can monitor ourselves, our own behavior, and how we represent ourselves to the world.
Amen. And let's not
Is there anybody else that wants Go ahead, Shirley.
Go ahead.
That's
let
good.
Not
Let's not forget.
Let us not forget that God died on the cross to save us from sin. And what did he say? Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Right.
Amen. The devil, he will come. I'm April from Ohio. The devil will come to steal, kill, and destroy.
Go ahead, Ms. April.
Amen.
Amen.
So this is Eric. So how many of you have heard this phrase from Christians? Let me lay down my religion just for a little bit so I can take care of this situation and pick it back up.
But that's what she was saying when she asked the question, how do we
right.
recognize, Brian was saying we have to be able to recognize it in us.
Right.
I know, but think about that, though. Think about somebody that tells you that they are a Christian and then makes a statement like that.
That means that
because
they don't they're not able to see in themselves.
Well, correct.
Or they say like I do, Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough.
Say it again, Shirley.
I like
that. One more time.
Right.
Say it again.
Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when
worthwhile
I've said
stuff.
Enough.
Oh, amen. Amen. Worthwhile stuff
amen.
And nudge me when I've said enough. Amen. 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 So is there
this
anyone
is
else who would like to respond? Go ahead, Brian.
This is Brian with just another comment. I attended a church probably 25 years ago, and it was a really good, solid, growing church. But there was a movement that started within the church, not by the pastor, but by some people who were influential and had a lot of financial clout. And it was, well, you know, we're saved. So if we do sin, it's inconsequential, really, because we're already saved and we're going to heaven anyway. And
Whoa.
that was a real key deception that caused all kinds of turmoil in the church until all those people left.
I can understand it.
But let's be clear that there is a theology that says once saved, always saved. There's a theology of people who don't believe that they can lose their salvation once they gain it. And the Bible tells us several scriptures that says that Jesus says you can't pluck me, that no one can pluck them from my hand. But the question becomes, you got to make sure you save. And if
That's
you're
right.
saved, your behavior and your attitude follows through with what you're saying.
That's right. And one of the big flaws in their position, though, was that there won't be consequences. In other words, because Amen. They've been saved and those sins have been forgiven, there wouldn't be consequences for the sins that they created or the sins that they
Amen.
Did. And that was a fundamental flaw.
That's a flaw. Yeah, because the
yeah.
Bible says the wages of sin is death. So we know clearly
yeah.
that's not a true statement. So are there other people on the line tonight who would like to share a little bit about how important it is that we recognize evil? Brother Mateo, come on. How important is it that we recognize evil?
Well,
this is Jerry. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jerry. We got a new person.
I was going to make a comment, Jerry, again from Maine. I was just going to make a comment, and it's kind of just simplistic, but the old adage that you can't change something if you don't even accept or recognize that there's a problem. So if we don't recognize mm-hmm. sin, how are we going to even know how to stay away from evil and sin if we don't even recognize it?
Mm. Absolutely,
Amen.
Jerry, because not every religion even believes in evil. There's some Christians that don't believe in Satan. So how does this influence or impact your encounters, our encounters, when we're around other people? We have to look at that. When there are people who don't believe that there is a Satan, an adversary, how
right.
does that influence, now that you think about that, how will that influence or impact your encounter with these people?
This is Joni Maine.
Hey, Joan.
Oh, good. I thought I was just not being hit. All right, yes. Sorry, I'm a little late. But at any rate, yes, it's good to be back here. I just wanted to share that it's been such an awesome experience, even though it was lots of adversity. And now I am completely affirmed that, or surely that we do need to believe that there is evil. And as well as Brother Brian says about we are, and it's fallen, there are fallen angels, and that was created by God. So
mm-hmm.
They have
Amen.
Learned also the heavens way and taught some other people and married with or joined in with human females at the time then and created all that. So on that, what I have learned is the experiences that I have encountered, a lot of people do not understand, which is, I guess, for me, I was not excited, but I could not believe what these vicious ways of doing it, and I'm seeing it, but a lot of people do not see. So I do wonder if that not seeing is because they were lacking or they know. That's my question. But I know God has proven it to me as well that he is the greatest teacher ever. The Holy Spirit has been the one that who showed me that, and also no longer fear evil, but face it, because it probably saved my life by facing it. At least I see. Once I face it, it gives me a decision making. Which one should I stand? And I cannot walk alone. I have to have the Holy Spirit with me in order to do that. But those, either they believe it or not, but I'm saying it because that's the truth that I have learned, and I'm not backing off, and that's how I do it. And so far, a lot of them that I have encountered with and talked to has finally just listened to, and, yeah, I have encountered that, and I keep
okay.
telling them, go for it and feel it and understand it and much more. If you believe,
okay.
then follow through.
So what you're saying, Joan, is that you believe and you know that the fallen angels, Satan is one of those fallen angels, and so for you with your Christian background, you believe that there is evil and that evil will influence us. I hear that. Does anybody else want to respond? Brother Mateo?
Yes, how you doing? The importance of recognizing evil is like really in depth. There's a lot of layers on it, and everybody's input is just a different layer. And I believe we could do this for a long time because there's so many different things that can destroy your faith and destroy your belief. And when you don't recognize your own enemy, so if you don't recognize an enemy, that enemy's able to walk up on you broad daylight and take take you out. So if you look at that,
amen, brother.
You look at that on a spiritual level, and then you know try to put that in your works with the Bible. It also can mean that the Bible, as I call it, book of instructions before leaving earth. If you're not looking in that book of instructions, you're not studying that book, then you have no ammunition to fight the enemy, and you definitely won't recognize him. So you can look at it as two things. One, not knowing them, it's easy for him to take you out. And two, you're showing your laziness toward reaching for God because you're not studying the very word that was sent to us to save us. So recognizing evil is definitely, definitely important. You must be able to discern who is the enemy in order to fight him or up a defense against him.
Amen.
So we've made a strong, strong, strong argument that we need to understand that it's very important that we recognize evil, but we don't always recognize it, do we? I don't think we recognize it in ourselves at times. Somebody brought that up. And so we've got this wonderful discussion that says the essence, the essentialness that Brother Mateo brought up, that we must know the enemy. We must be able to recognize evil so that we know how to fight, so that we won't be taken out. So specifically, we also need to know when we're being used by the enemy, when that evil is showing up in us. So why is that important that we need to know when it's in us?
Because if you do not, this is Johnny May, if you do not know the adversaries and adversaries that you're going through, then definitely you would be triggered to any kind of sense of confusion. And that's how they
So, Brother Mateo, why is it important that you can recognize when the enemy is using you? Sometimes we get angry.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, be angry and sin not. That may be evil manifesting in you.
That's right.
So why do we need to recognize when the enemy is using us? Come on, somebody, these scholars.
This Brother Mateo from Maine. I definitely work on anger, and I believe that a lot of people, and I'm getting it under wraps, I believe a lot of ways it's very, very crucial, it's beyond important to recognize that because it will cause you yourself to sin. So the worst thing for a person that is trying to walk like Christ is to believe they're walking correctly and walking wrong the entire time. So I think it's very crucial for us to understand that because we can be sinning and not even know it. And when something becomes such a habitual thing to us, it becomes normal. Then other people think it's normal. So now not only are we sinning, but we can be training other people to sin as well.
And it makes it look like it's not the enemy. It makes it look like it's you. The reason why this is so important, the reason why we need to recognize the enemy, can I get somebody to read Daniel? Somebody turn to Daniel. Can anybody hear me? Daniel, the fourth chapter, the 26th through the 32nd verse. Daniel, the fourth chapter, the 26th through the 32nd verse. Can I get somebody to read that?
Yeah, this is Eric. I've got it. Daniel 4:26 through
32.
All right.
Yes.
So, but the stump and the roots will be left in the ground. This means that you will receive your kingdom back again when you have learned that the heavens rule. O King Nebuchadnezzar, please listen to me. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past break from your wicked past by being merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will conquer what. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper. But all these things did happen to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, he was taken and walked on the flat roof of the royal palace in Babylon. As he looked out across the city, he said, "Just look at this great city of Babylon. I, by my own power, have built this beautiful city as my royal residence, and it is an expression of my royal splendor." While he was still speaking these words, a voice called down from heaven, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields as a wild animal, and you will eat grass like a cow. Seven periods of time will pass while you live this way until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses."
So what that tells us is that heaven rules over all the affairs of the earth. So that's important to know. So ain't nothing that's happening down here that is not in controlled in heaven. So when we are struggling, when we got to understand that our goal, right, is to do good and to resist evil. But heaven controls the affairs on the earth. So think about that for a minute. How does that impact you if you know that there's a war going on? Where do you think the war is happening?
Around us.
In heaven. The war is happening, and that's the reason why I wanted us to look at all those scriptures so that we could look at what's the difference between evil. How can we recognize evil? So that when we see evil, we know it. Did anybody read the scriptures that I sent on the text?
Yeah, this is Eric. I did, but let me read one more, please.
Okay.
And all of you will know where this is at.
So
one
I'm
day
trying
the
to make a point,
came
too,
to,
so. Okay.
Yeah, right. Well, I think this will help you make that point. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan the accuser came with them. "Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. And Satan answered the Lord, "I have been going back and forth across the earth, watching everything that's going on." Then the Lord asked, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and will have nothing to do with evil." Satan replied to the Lord, "Yes, Job fears God, but not without good reason. You have always protected him and his home and his property from harm. You have made him prosperous in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." "All right, you may test him," the Lord said to Satan. "Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically." So Satan left the Lord's presence, and then we know what happened. So that is the point. It is taking place in heaven, and it manifests itself on the earth. And God is trying to see if we know what's going on. But you can't know what's going on. You can't know what's going on if you're not connected with God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You just can't.
So that's the challenge. And that's that we're chosen, we're holy, and we're set apart. So Eric told us in Revelation that the enemy said what? What did he say to us? That he was going. What did he say to the Lord? What was the challenge? That he was going to get more what? Y'all remember? He was going to get more souls.
More souls, yeah.
That's what
Amen.
It's all about.
Yeah, more souls.
He wants more souls than the Lord. That's the battle. And so if we are chosen, if we are holy and we are set apart, if we belong to the Lord, as we confess and believe that we're the Lord's and nothing can pluck us from his hands, we got to know that we're in a spiritual battle. Because guess what? You're exactly right. Your salvation is determined. Your salvation is clear. But that doesn't mean that the enemy can't put his hands on you. That doesn't mean that the enemy won't make your life miserable because you made a choice that wasn't him. That doesn't mean he's going to try to cause you to live in depression and oppression and fear and all of the negative things that make you want to give up on life. Come on, somebody. We are in a spiritual battle whether we want to be or not. And it's a battle between good and evil, and baby, you are the prize. Let me say it again. It's a battle between good and evil, and you are the prize. See, our God desires a strong relationship. We say this all the time. God desires a strong relationship with us. He wants to bless us. He wants us to live with him forever. But Satan, the devil, he desires to keep us from all that God wants for us. Right? Because when we look back, Israel was not a nation of warriors, but God is a mighty warrior. They were terrified, but God was victorious and is victorious. So why God can say, be still and don't be afraid? Why can God say that? Why can he tell us to be still and not be afraid? Because what? Tell me some reasons why God can tell us that and we can be rest assured in it. Come on, saints. Why?
Because we've been saved by Jesus.
Because we have been saved by grace. We've been saved by Jesus. And what's God's promise to us?
He will not.
He will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen. Amen. He will never leave you or forsake you. And whose battle is this? The Bible says trust, right? This is the battle is the Lord's. And when we try to fight this spiritual warfare in our strength, hey, baby, we're going to lose.
Yeah.
An example of it, let me give you an example. There was, I'm trying to remember, it was Michael. Let's see if I can remember where it is. It was the archangel Michael. It was, he was, do you remember when he was, they were fighting over Moses' body? I'm trying to remember. Eric, you know exactly where that is? I think it was just before they were crossing over. And I remember that instead of them, instead of Michael trying to fight him, let me pull that scripture up. I know I can find it real quick. But instead of Michael finding him, he said, the Lord rebukes you. He referred to the, he passed that on to the Lord. Let me see if I can find the scripture where it is. But while I'm doing that, I want us to understand that we may not always see that the battle's going on. And sometimes we might even forget that it's there. How many times do y'all walk out your door and you don't think about being in battle? Come on, be honest. All you're thinking about is going to work. Come on, somebody there.
I say a prayer. I would say a prayer before I leave because you don't know what you're going to encounter.
I know, but are you thinking I'm walking into war? We're not thinking that, Miss Shirley. We're not thinking that, and we need to think that. That's what I'm saying. When we walk out the door, when we get up, we are not thinking I'm walking into war. Just like when you go, come on, we got some people in the in military here. There's a, come on, somebody from the military. Y'all speak up and tell me what you got to do to be ready to go to war.
Be prepared.
Come on, Jerry.
Exactly. Be prepared. Have all your equipment in order and get ready.
The armor of God.
So you can't walk outside without your gun. You can't walk outside without your helmet. You can't walk outside without your body armor, without your Kevlar. Without your Kevlar on. You can't walk out without that. You can't walk out without your scopes and all these things, and the skills that you have acquired. You can't just walk out there and just go, oh, ain't no problem. I'm just going to walk out there. Wait a minute. You just had a mind that was dropped, and the earth is shaking, and you just go get up, walk out, no gun, no armor, no nothing. Come on, y'all. Somebody tell me something.
No, it's not going to happen. That's
it's not
going to
happen.
Nope.
It's not. So why would we do that when we're walking outside and we know the enemy is seeking whom he may devour? He's trying to take us out. Why would
Amen.
We do
That's
that?
True.
Why would we do that? Somebody tell me.
We shouldn't
do
that.
We shouldn't. This is Eric. We shouldn't do that. But why do we do that? Because we have conditioned ourselves and been told that if you accept Jesus, that all is going to be well. And Christ didn't say
we
that.
We don't believe
that.
He didn't say
that all was going to be well. Well, yeah, that's true. We don't believe that. But the fact of the matter is that you need to understand that once you accept Christ as your Savior, that the battle has just begun.
Amen.
Yes, I agree.
So what is spiritual warfare? What is spiritual warfare? Y'all tell me. What is spiritual warfare?
Spiritual warfare is believing in the holiness, in the spirit, the good spirit, not human. So we have to fight.
To shy away from evil and sin.
It's the struggle between good and evil. It's the struggle between good and evil that determines the size of, the distribution of, and the capacity of the kingdom of the Lord versus the
Amen,
kingdom
Brian.
Of Satan with regard to human souls.
Amen.
Well, I think of, this is Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
I think of Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against
Amen.
Spiritual wickedness in the high places. Yes. We wrestle
Thank you.
With
Thank
evil
you. Yep.
In
yep.
the heavenly realms, and we can't do it alone, of course. We have to continually pray and ask the Lord for guidance of every step. And even when you're going out the door, when you don't expect something to happen, you should ask.
So, Margaret, when you're walking out the door, Margaret, I just want you to know the enemy going to say, put up your dukes before he hits you, right? He's going to warn you right before he attacks you, right? He's going to say, Margaret, you better run in there and get your helmet of salvation. Margaret. I'm going to give you an hour.
At the pass by praying the whole armor of God in the morning before I leave the house. I clothe myself in the whole armor of God. And it doesn't mean it'll be a good, perfect day, but he always gets me home again.
Amen.
Amen. But the forces of darkness will not wait for us to be ready before they attack. And so my point is, just like we're going to war in Iraq, just like we fight in the war overseas, you have to understand and have the mentality. Come on, Brother Mateo. Speak up, brother. Come on, Brother Mateo, where are you? What do you train the troops? What do you tell the troops to do?
I'm here. No, I'm here. I'm just taking a shower and listening. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But the point that when you were talking, the point that came to mind to me, especially about the military and being prepared when you go out, is we used to always have this saying, proper preparation prevents poor performance. So if you properly prepare yourself with Bible scriptures, verses, keep yourself studying, stay fast in the word and stay fast in prayer, you'll prevent poor performance. So most of the time when Satan runs up on you, you will notice it. And the way you notice that is by preparing yourself. And that's what we need to do every day. We need to become prayer warriors. Our people are weak.
Amen.
The strongest thing we have is prayer. And until we become prayer warriors, we're going to continue to fall for his devices.
Amen.
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 Brother Mateo, he brought us to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
So this is Eric, because I got another point.
Go ahead.
This is a personal testimony real quick, just to show you that even though you prepare yourself and even though you prayed up and study and all that, I've been doing that every day for 40 years. Mm-hmm. I don't leave the house until I've done an hour and a half of time with the Lord. I don't care where I got to go, what time I got to go. I don't leave until I do that. But I remember being in Alabama, and I had ordered some suits, and they promised me that they would be in at a certain day. I'm happy. I'm going over there to pick them up, and I get there, and they're not there. And I went off on the salesman. I literally acted a fool. I didn't cuss him, but I may as well have because I showed out. I got in my car and drove away because I was angry.
Right.
And about 5 minutes from there, the Spirit said to me, you need to turn around and you need to go back and you need to apologize to that man because it wasn't his fault.
Mm-hmm.
And if you call yourself a representative of mine, you can't be acting like that.
Right.
Well,
turn around, and I went back. And I told him, listen, I am so sorry for my actions and the way I behaved. That was not called for. It was not intended for you. I was angry that they weren't here, but you had nothing to do with that. And I am truly sorry, and I ask that you forgive me. So even though, and why, the reason that I bring that up is though, even though we are prepared, Brother Mateo, we can get in the heat of battle, and we can get sidetracked.
Amen.
No, you
wasn't sidetracked. You were very tracked. You were tracked, and the enemy was beating you up. You were being used and attacked. But that's why I said we need to be able to understand it when it happens to us, because the Holy Spirit had to reveal that to you. So let me read this scripture. It says, likewise are also these fleshly, filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despite dominions and speaking evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Because, see, even Michael, and that was the King James, I'm going to read it in the New Living, even Michael the angel knew that that wasn't the place to argue with the enemy. It says, but even Michael, one of the mightiest of the archangels, did not dare accuse the devil of blasphemy, but simply said, the Lord rebuke you. So here these two are having battle. So my point is if the archangel Michael doesn't contend and knows when to shut the heck up, we need to understand that the Lord has to fight our battle as well.
Tell everybody where you read that from, Dr. Sue.
I read it from first chapter, the ninth verse. Ninth through the tenth verse. Let me finish talking about this because I'm trying to close this out and make a point here. So yes, we are in biblical warfare. Yes, we need to see and understand that that's where we are. And the reason why is because we're going to get our butts toe up every time. Y'all may think y'all some strong warriors, but I'm here to serve you notice that if you ain't walking out your house with your Kevlar on, your helmet, and all your spiritual Kevlar helmets and weapons and your scriptures, and you set that the proper preparation preventing your poor performance, hey, the enemy is going to attack and whip your behind and hand it over to you. So in biblical warfare, we have to make ourselves more attentive to what God is doing and remembering to stand firm and let God fight our battles. Because the power comes through the Spirit, through God's word, through prayer. That confidence that God is always there, that's what we have to lean and be strong in. So when we're under attack, you know, we can have extreme onset of trouble, losses, trials. We can have physical attacks, be in danger. We can have illness, life-threatening losses, increased temptations, luring towards sin or wrong choices, the feelings of being overwhelmed, depressed and despair, darkness and fear, deep confusion. You all have said some of these feelings of condemnation, guilt, dull spiritual awareness. 1 Corinthians 4:33, God is not the author of confusion, but peace. So when y'all going in a direction and all of a sudden you start finding confusion in your life, you need to understand where it's coming from. It ain't coming from God. Romans 8:1 says there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. We need to understand that. We need to be aware of that. So when we're doing this spiritual battle, we got to trust the Lord. We got to be still. We got to be prepared. We got to know who's got to fight the battle for us. So in preparing for victory in this spiritual warfare, you got to be able to see it. You got to see with spiritual eyes that you're in the battle, right?
Amen.
The battle between God and
amen,
the devil.
Amen.
For lordship and rule of your life and this world. So who is in the who's in the battle? Do y'all know who's in the battle? Who is battling?
Every one of us.
I am battling.
Amen.
And enjoy the victory at the end.
The
I've got another perspective.
Faith in God.
Thank you. The battle, think about it this way. The battle are the angels and the demons. And we are the targets. Come on, y'all, look at this in a different way. The battle is taking place with the angels and the demons, and we are the targets. We are the targets. We are the targets. So we got to learn to pray. We got to learn to study the Bible. We've got to engage in order to win because we've got to allow. They don't just say let go and let God for a reason. We got to stand and trust, and that's what happens. We got to trust God. Yes, because we're facing the war, and it's as we submit to our relationship with God to believe that he's got it. How many times have we had to tell ourselves, God's got it, back off, God's got it, be still and know that I'm God, God's got it.
You have our responsibility. We have our accountability and responsibility.
So, as we move.
Dr. Susie, one thing.
Yes.
This is Eric, and I propose that each of you over the next couple of days think of this and try to answer this question for yourselves. Why do you think Satan is so intent on destroying humanity?
Because he knows
which
Jesus
is
coming.
She just told you that the battle is the angels and the demons, and we are the target. Why do you think Satan is so intent on that warfare? I don't need you to answer it for me. I need you to answer that for yourself.
Yeah. And we'll bring it back and talk about the first thing next week because that's a good one. That's a good one. So there are two worldviews we can have here. One is the natural worldview that says, you know, we got all kind of scientific stuff to reason and figure out how the world works, right? But then there's a spiritual worldview, right? That says that the spiritual worldview that tells us that what we've got to recognize that we are competing spiritual worldviews and that the enemy, what's biblically based is that we have the one true God and man, those of us who trust and love the Lord, we are the ones who they're fighting over. They want us to lose the warfare. They want the enemy. The enemy wants to win so that we can be overcome. But God's already won the war. We already know in Revelation that we win. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
We are
Amen.
On the side of the Lord, so we don't have to be, we can be victorious, but we got to change the way we think, right? And we got to understand
right.
that it's not that we are living in a spiritual, that the spiritual worldview is that heaven is controlling, hello, come on. Heaven is controlling, right?
Yes.
The affairs
Amen.
Of the earth. Heaven is controlling the affairs of the earth. So what's happening there manifests down here, right? So we
Amen.
Need to remember that. They got to be in sync. What's happening in heaven manifests down here on earth in the battle. In the non-material world. So we got heaven, we got the second heaven where the stars and the angels are, and then we got the third heaven where God is. So we've got this spiritual warfare that's going on that we got to understand. The impact of the battle is that they're fighting over us, right?
Right.
We're in the battle.
That's it.
Right? So sometimes when you see bleeding, when you can tell when we become, the enemy uses these four D's, we become discouraged by our faith, we have discontent for our physical life, we get distracted from our worldly, our calling, and we have worldly temptation, we have discord that's breeded between us and other believers. Those are the effects of the struggle, the bleeding. So we're going to talk about the impact of the battle next week. We're going to talk about, and I ask that, there's something, one more thing I wanted to ask you before I go. I ask those of you to read those scriptures. So in Genesis 3:1, Isaiah 14:1, did y'all read those? What did you learn yep. about the enemy? And we'll bring that up. Did y'all read those to find out the terminology that the enemy was that they were using to teach us about the enemy, about Satan? Okay, so y'all didn't read. But listen, the serpent, he was called the serpent. Eric taught us through Revelation, king of Babylon, king of Tyre. We learned that he was the devil, he was evil, he was a malevolent spirit. He was called the enemy. He was called the great enemy, the God of this world. He was over the kingdom of darkness. He was the great dragon, the ancient serpent, the devil. We need to know all the names by which he is called because he is the enemy. And with these descriptors, right, we should understand that he is a heavyweight contender. And if you have not noticed it again, we're at war. Try to stand against him in your own strength. It's like me trying to tell the heavyweight boxing champion, I rebuke you with my fist. Ha! That's funny, right?
Yeah.
I rebuke you with my fist. So what? So the chip has nothing to worry about for me. But guess what? My God said, what did the Lord say? What did the Lord tell us? He will fight my battle. The Lord says, be still and know that I am God. My God says that I ain't got to worry about it because what? He never leave me nor forsake me. I ain't got to be fearful.
Amen.
But I can walk in knowing whose I am. Come on. I ain't got to be nobody, but I tell you, the God I serve is, and God don't play. So, as we go through the week, be mindful of the things we talked about. Come back next week and be willing to talk about the warfare that you found around you. specifically after you started saying, when you walk out that door, after you get up having your devotion in the morning, that you know you've been in battle. Put your gear, put your armor on. So, Eric, can I get you to say an invitation, please?
Yeah. Excuse me. So those that are listening, if you've come to understand that you really are in a battle and the battle is raging and it is you that the fight is over, there's really only one side to be on that wins, and that's on God's side through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So if you'll pray this prayer, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would come into my life, Lord Jesus, as I surrender myself to you, that you will be my Savior,
yes,
and that I will humble myself to you, that you will guide, direct, and rule my path and my way, that I may know that you are the true, only living Son of God, and that you died on Calvary's cross, that I might have a chance at being redeemed and brought back to the family of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I believe and I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And if you've prayed that prayer and you believe that, then you are saved at this particular point in time. The only thing that we would ask is that you find a Bible-believing church that you may study with, that you continue to join us as you can, and that at some point in time you may be baptized in that church, but the baptism is only for the outward appearance. If you have pray that prayer and believe that and ask Jesus to come in and be your personal Savior, to guide and direct you, then you are saved. And we're glad to welcome you to the faithful family.
Amen. 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 We also ask that if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, please send in an email to let us know so we can celebrate with you. You can send it to drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. And as we said, we're so excited to have you with us this evening, and we ask that you join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God's blessings be with you as you go through this week, remembering when the enemy strikes, but we got to be ready for the battle. When the enemy
Amen.
Strikes, we got to be ready Amen. For the battle.
So
Amen.
Is Brother God's Brett blessings. With us?
No, he's not. So that's why I was looking for him to do his thing.
So
but you want to
so
do
that
it? I don't
being
remember.
Said, we ask that you would join us every Tuesday, and we are sure that it's going to be 7 p.m. Eastern time
yeah.
to 8-ish
yeah.
p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah.
Oh, you can join us at 646-478-4932. That's 646-478-4932. For Love Connection Church, where Dr. Susie is the host and moderator. Thank you for being with us.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Dr. Susie,
God bless you
there.
All. Love you.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.